Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. I want to remind you that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, sir. Thanks so much for having me.
We're almost there. Friday, ribbon cutting, small scale, small R ribbon cutting, to open up the Romana section of Palafox, and then 10 days later, open to everybody, right?
That's right, yeah. So we're planning Friday at 3 o'clock, open to the public at the intersection of Romana and Palafox. We're going to do what we're really calling...
Wait. Did you pronunciation check me?
I said, oh, no, If you didn't pronounce it the way I pronounced it, then I guess yes.
I've always said Romana. You said Romana in what I thought was a very deliberate way. Is it? I've always said it Romana. Am I wrong?
I don't know. Am I wrong?
All right, fair enough.
Making me second guess something. tomato, Andrew. But we will have there at Romana / Romana in Palafox. We will have the small business ribbon cutting. Very excited for that. And the reason we're doing it is we're going to have the official, as I keep joking, kind of the hoity-toity formal dedication, you know, for a major project we're certainly super excited about. But we're going to do that around the America 250 celebration. We'll have that in Plaza Ferdinand. More details to come. But we thought it would, one, we went through 5 months, 139 days of construction for these small businesses that our city and our surrounding area has really stepped up for these businesses. We've lost zero businesses because of the closure. We're very proud of that because there was a lot of intentionality behind that.
Do you know anything about employee counts? Because that would be, I mean, I know we didn't lose any, you know, binary yes, no on businesses, but do we know anything about employees or hours? I mean, I just don't know the answer.
Yeah, no, and we wouldn't either. And whether it was Blue Sky or construction, you know, we don't have any mechanism to keep tabs at a month by month level on employees, of course. And listen, that doesn't mean that there weren't some adjustments. You know, there's less tables outside, those types of things. Certainly, that's possible. Nonetheless, the bottom line to me is, in 139 days, we completed 5 city blocks, an $11 million project. We lost zero businesses. We're stormwater hardened. We are ADA accessible, more aesthetic, and we've made an investment in the cornerstone of economic development from a tourism standpoint in our downtown. And to do that in 139 days, I'm certainly proud of being on time, on budget, and all of that. So the reason we're doing something now is we're letting the small businesses cut the ribbon, right? I mean, the idea is to let everybody know that this road is back open. Will be pedestrian only through the end of the month, which will be kind of interesting to watch. We're doing that because we're moving some fences over to some of the side streets and things like that. But we have the Fiesta Parade, of course, the following Friday downtown. So that you would already have Palafox closed regardless from a security standpoint. So it'll be a good little experiment or logistical thing that also allows you to have your kids and family, if you want to go out in the middle of the road and take photos, you don't have to worry about a car coming down. So we will do that Friday at 3 o'clock. Of course, the public is welcome.
So I figured that this was probably also a pray for rain and test the system before we open it to traffic kind of thing because of all the new storm drains that have put in. I know some people are looking at this like, are you sure they're not testing this for a future pedestrian only zone switch?
We are not testing it for a pedestrian-only zone. Again, it would, if we were to say we want to put cars on there as quickly as possible, what would ultimately end up happening as an alternative to this is we would open one day, close one day, open 4 hours, close 4 hours because of the fences moving.
Okay,
that's really the reason. We wanted to give enough time, and it's just much cleaner and simpler. I don't want to go on your radio show and say, go stand out in the middle of the road, except for 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 9 a.m. nice. To 1 p.m. on Friday. You know, so... it just made natural sense to us, but you know, you hear the same things I hear. Of course, people are, you know, some people want to close it permanently, 24 hours a day. Some people think, you know, cars driving by is how those businesses survive, and that's important to them. So, you know, I get that. I'm sure, Andrew, that this project completion will not be the last of that debate. I'm sure.
Oh, I have an update. I have two people have texted me and said that it's Romana and not Romana. So, problem solved.
Well, I guess I have to file an ordinance or something.
Well, there you go. Yeah, yeah, why not? I want to ask you about something that is, I don't think you're going to like the question, but it's a question a lot of people are asking right now. When it comes to travel to the beach, which I know the beach is itself not in your domain, but, you know, travel to the beach is a problem that we all deal with, and it's the biggest draw for our community, and we're talking about building either a convention space or building an athletic space or whatever, and, you know, the engineers from DRMP, or the engineer from DRMP basically says, we're at capacity, it's at the breaking point, you know, and we cannot take any more. Is it time to stop marketing Pensacola Beach for people to come here?
No. I think, and this is where I will only dip my toenail into other government's business. I will limit it to when is the last significant infrastructure project that took place out there, I think is a fair question. Meaning, and I can make it a good segue to the airport that we'll talk about in a second by saying we have an airport built for 1.3 million people that now 3.1 million people fly through.
Yeah.
Could you make, just in general, and again, I don't, this is a problem with no solution, and it certainly is the county, and I know they got a lot of smart people working on this project. You do have to ask yourself, when was the last major infrastructure increase to allow capacity that's happened out there? That was the first thing I thought when I saw that study that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And I don't mean widening a bridge. I don't think the bridge necessarily would be the issue, but when you get onto the island, it tends to be the issue. And so, you know, I think that's worth a robust conversation. Andrew, you've been around long enough to hear every one of these scenarios. Do you build a garage? Do you take the SRIA property and build some type of parking structure on that side with retail? I mean, there's been, you know, every year or two, there's always something to talk through. And, you know, I'll defer all of that to the experts that are more immersed in that than I am. But I think when you look at it 30,000 foot view, that probably needs to be a question is how many more people come to the beach now than they did 10 years ago or 20 years ago? And when's the last time that we've kind of had an investment that has allowed for that growth to take place?
I'll put my, again, this will be the third time I've mentioned it on the air, and I mentioned it only by way of passing because I can't get it out of my head. I mentioned to Sam Abel and she almost passed out. We should take Garcon Point Road, plow it right through the Walmart and Tiger Point Golf Course and build a third bridge, and then we have a grid system to the eastern side of the non-Gulf Islands National Seashore. But that's a conversation for a different day, and I don't actually advocate for it, but I am kind of fascinated by the idea. Something.
No comment.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I was watching the TPO last week, and, you know, the thought occurred to me, why is the mayor of Pensacola not a seat on the TPO?
That's a good question, and I only pause at that because obviously there's lots of responsibilities in this job, and that would, you know, be another one. I think a lot of what you see with the mayor appointees and council appointees at the city are a little backwards. And by the way, that's no slight of anybody on council or council staff. I just think when you're new, your form of government's 15 years old, and there are bodies that require city representation. And so we've had a few of these that have changed just on smaller scales, like Florida West, EDC, where, you know, they, of course, because the old form of government, they were council appointees. And so some of those boards haven't necessarily caught up to the new form of government and understandable. Like, when would that happen? Right. Like, it would take some intentionality for that, for people to look at that. And then, you know, then that's a discussion between council and mayor's office. But I think it's a fair question. I mean, at least having some type of representation there for sure.
And I mean, you didn't say it, but I assume you also mean like TDT, for example, you know, TDC, that would be one. And there's others as well.
Correct.
Where because of the change in the nature of government and you being elected independent, you know, official, you mentioned at the airport, big announcement, what, $9 million, biggest single grant. We're at 32, need 38 more, and it's a $110 million project, right? The airport, all the different things we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, I mean, you've got a concourse that needs to be built, but you've got baggage claim that needs to be updated, a utility plant, all those things. So that's a number that from an entire modernization program can go, that ticket can go much higher. But we're absolutely thrilled to get the $9 million from the FAA. This was something that we were getting zero from the FAA when we got here. And the hardest thing, the first dollar is always hardest with these federal grants, these revolving ones. And so we fought. I believe I always get it confused. I think it was $4 million. Yes, I believe it was $4 million because the $5 million was from the state. And so we got that first $4 million, and that's what I said at the time was, this isn't just $4 million. It's kind of getting on the docket, so to speak, knowing that this is a recurring thing, and that as progress moves forward, that kind of opened the window for us to be able to get more funding and prove that on Monday. So very excited for that. And as I mentioned in the press conference, what does that mean for you as a listener, as a as an airport user? What it means is the more grant money we get, the less money we have to bond, and the less money we have to bond, that's a pass-through that ultimately, it doesn't matter what airport does what project, can have a negative consequence on the ticket you pay, right? Those, all those fees and all of that. So without getting into airport math, the bottom line is the more grants we get, the more likely it is that we can keep your ticket affordable. And that's what made that has made Pensacola International Airport so so strong, and why we've seen such growth is we have been more competitive than our neighbors, and we continue to do so, and we should after this project as well.
Most definitely. I have so much I always want to talk with you about. You were talking about yard debris, and you went through and explained how, you know, and you've kind of hinted at this before, that you're sure that it's a lot of this is because of contractors not doing their job. And if I understood you correctly, you told the story that somebody actually came to your house and did tree work, and then posed you the question of, well, do you want to pay $100 for us to take it away, or do you want us to leave it on your lawn illegally and then the city takes care of it? Did that actually happen to you?
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing.
And again, I don't think, do I think it's malicious? No, it's that classic case. It's there's lots of things that remind me of the recycling process. It's like, I don't know that, I'm sure there's some companies that have been here a long time that know the rule, and there's going to be ones that don't, right? Ones that pop up and don't. And that's why I keep saying job number one is to get everybody's yard debris up. And I think we put 1,100 man hours in last week, which has got to be some kind of record outside of a hurricane. That's job number one, get everything picked up. Job number two is we are going to assess and right size what we need to do. And before people say, oh, man, that means you're going to charge more. I have no intention of wanting to charge more. Ultimately, the charges rest with the council. But I don't think that is the case. It's time for education, and there's time for rules to be followed. I think that is going to be our first step, is if we find out that contractors are asking that question that someone asked me a couple of years back, to say, yeah, would you like to pay for it yourself? Well, what do you expect a citizen to say? Of course they're going to say, no, just leave it out on the curb. I don't want to pay another $100.
Exactly.
Well, in reality, who's paying that $100? I mean, the $100 that I should be paying at my house is being spread across 21,000 households. So, that's the reality. So if we don't want to get to additional costs, then we have to, and that's our job. Meaning that's not the citizen's job. That's our job is, hey, we've got these rules on the books. We try to be fair and kind of loosey-goosey with it. We don't want to, as you heard me say, I don't want to get my tape measure out and say, well, your pile is 6'4". right. Give us $15. That's not how we want to operate, right? So we gotta attack this at where it's most painful for us, which is these contractors that are leaving enormous piles of, all winter long, all spring long yard trash that it's supposed to be a 6x6 box.
And I only ask this because I can't not ask it. Were you the mayor when he said this to you, or were you not yet the mayor?
It would be close. I actually would think yes, but it would be close. Yeah.
Well, not everybody knows who's the mayor. Who's the mayor? So that's fair enough. Hey, we always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. First one, does the moon rotate or not rotate on its own axis?
I don't know all these NASA questions, Andrew. I'm just trying to get your yard trash picked up.
Fair enough. I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
I don't know. What is the right answer?
It rotates at 1/30th or so of a, because it's rotating gradually over the course of a month. But okay, fair enough. Dirty dishes. Do you do dirty dishes as you go, immediately after the meal, that day, or when the piles become annoying?
Once per night, right? When everything's in. Ice cream bowls and everything. We're all the way through. That's when it gets attacked.
And the most important question I am going to ask you for a long time is fruit cocktail, yay or nay, versus single fruit?
Grew up on it. The little plastic you know, thing you pulled back. You know, I'm sure it was sitting in juice that was definitely not legal anymore, I'm sure, back in the 90s. but absolutely. I mean, I have to be honest. I don't run across it much anymore, Andrew, since I was like maybe 10. But maybe now we have
the explanation. It was fruit cocktail as a kid that made you say Romana as an adult. DC Reeves is the...
Could be.
Mayor of Pensacola. I always appreciate talking with you, sir. Thank you so much for the information. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, sir.